You know, I think that's one of my favorite lines right there of all the modern day Christmas classics. This whole idea of, you know, if we're going to do it right, we're going to do it big. And, you know, that's kind of what I think about when I think about the crazy campaign, the crazy dream that Crosspoint's been going after over this last 18 months. You know, it's one of those things that whenever God reveals his dreams for your life, often they're much bigger, they're grander than you often would expect or plan for yourselves. And right now we're going after that. We're saying, hey, we're going to do it right. We're going to do it big, and we're going to fulfill this thing that God has invited us to be a part of. And so over the last couple weeks, we've been in this series called Flickers of Hope. We've been taking a look at the Christmas story, some of the unique places that just bring flickers of hope to people throughout all generations from the story. Today, we're going to kind of take a brief pause on that for just a few minutes, and we're going to celebrate this important benchmark that we are hitting this month, actually this weekend, in this crazy journey that we've been on here at Crosspoint. And so as we take a look at this, I think you're going to see, though, that as we're talking, that there are some deep congruent through lines that we find with this crazy dream that God has called us to here at Crosspoint with the original Christmas story. Because whatever God is up to in the world, whenever God, you know, plants seeds and dreams in people's lives, they're always in line with this greater plan that he's already doing in the world. And so it's going to be kind of a unique look as we take a look at what God's doing here, but also take a look in on the Christmas story today. So if you're newer to the Crosspoint community, or maybe today's your first time with us, again, I want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. You're going to have the opportunity today to kind of get a glimpse in at the heartbeat of what this community is about, what drives this place, why we do what we do. You know, oftentimes people will say to me, they're like, Kurt, you know, where's Crosspoint going to be in 10 years from now, in 15 years from now? And you know, my response is the same. I share it often. You know, I don't know. I don't know where we're going to be. What I can say, though, is we're on this amazing journey of building something that is yet to be seen, of saying things that aren't being said, and trusting God to do something meaningful through a bunch of imperfect people. And for me, that continues to be exciting. When I think that God could actually use me, that God could actually use you. I mean, that God could actually use people who don't have it all together, who are just simply trying to do their best to follow God and what his plan is for their lives. And in some unique way, it continues to touch people's lives. And so this is what we're looking at today. Today is the halftime. It's literally the halfway point of our crazy journey. So I am going to step into the locker room this morning. I mean, this is as far into the locker room as it's going. I'm going to pull up my bench. And I'm just going to kind of give you a snapshot, give you a picture of how we've played. You know, I think Coach Crean last night, how about the Hoosiers last night, by the way? Yeah. You know, I think Coach Crean, at halftime, they evaluated the game, right? I mean, they went in 1 point ahead, and they had to do an evaluation. They said, if we're going to knock off the number one team in the country, by the way, then, you know, we have to have a game plan. We have to know how we played in the first half, and we have to have a specific game plan for the strategic places we must execute well in the second half. And so I want to take a look at some of those today. And, you know, we launched this crazy dream, this crazy campaign a year and a half ago, 18 months ago. And if you're newer this morning, and this is all new to you, on your seat when you came in, there should have been a brochure that says Crazy Journey on it. You can flip through that. It kind of gives you a picture of why we're doing this, why we're doing it now. But the nutshell version is that, you know, we believe that we need a home. We need a place that Crosspoint can call home, a place that we can have as a permanent launch pad into the community where we're not housed in a school any longer. We've been here for about 4.5 years, meeting in this location. And so you see some of the images, some of the kind of environments that we hope to create in this location. And, you know, our main goal was we wanted this to be more than just a dark church the rest of the week, like many across the face of our globe. All right, we want this building, this tool, this facility to be a hub, to be a place for connecting. You know, we want to feature an open concept lobby, a place that's, you know, feels like Starbucks. We can come during the week and you can meet with a business partner. If you need to do some business, you can tap into free Wi-Fi and have free coffee. You know, a place where moms can bring their friends, their kids on a rainy day and meet up with friends, and their kids can play in an indoor play area. And, you know, a place where, you know, community groups have access to the building. I mean, just kind of a hub in the community. We wanted to be in a destination location so that we could have the kind of crazy impact that we believe God wants to do through this place. And so we engaged in a very successful three-year capital campaign. We went through a six-week period of time where we asked you to do four things. We said, we want you to just listen. We ask you to process the information. We ask you to pray. And then just respond and do whatever it is that God has called you to do, however God calls you to be a part of this thing. And so we had an initial goal of $500,000. A couple statistics from the first half. Our initial goal was $500,000. And when all was said and done, we currently sit at $661,000 and some change pledged toward this crazy dream. Now, what's amazing about that is when we originally identified our goal of $500,000, our consultant said, man, you guys, that's going to be a far reach for you. You're a young church community. If you hit $500,000, man, we are jumping up and down. And this community blew through that. In fact, initially, we hit $613,000 in our commitments. And then in the last 6 months, we've had nearly $40,000 more committed by people who have recently joined the Crosspoint community. And so this is exciting to us. I mean, it's exciting to see how people are wanting to say, hey, I want to be a part of not building a building. I don't want to be a part of putting some structure into place, but I want to be a part of building into changed lives in our community. And so just as in any game, you know, there are always key moments in the game that you identify and say, this was a game change moment right here. This event right here literally changed the course of the game. Well, for us, we initially thought that this new facility was going to be a warehouse space for us, that we were literally going to go inside and build out the internal, the inside of a warehouse space up in the corporate campus up near Hamilton Town Center Mall, and that we would rent space. And again, we would be kind of in a destination place. And we had a game change moment in the first half. In fact, everything came screeching to a halt as we realized that that warehouse space did not materialize. We're in ongoing conversations with the landlords and actually thought that we had a space that was nailed down. And when we actually got to the formal proposal aspect of that plan, then it fell through the cracks and the owners realized this, that we didn't fit the scope of what they wanted. And it was a disheartening moment, if I can be really honest. And yet, whenever we have those, it's also one of those moments where you step back and say, okay, God, what's the next plan that you have in store for us? And so our team stepped back and said, okay, where do we go from here? We began to talk to developers. We began to talk to others who might have interest in putting structures up in the locations that we would need. And generally found that no one is building anything right now. In fact, you know, I only know of one other church in my awareness. There may be others, but I know of one other church right now that's actually involved in a building project in this difficult economy. And yet we feel relentless. We have a relentless commitment to say, we believe this is what God's calling us to do regardless of what state the economy is in. And so it's a challenge right now, and yet we began to track down, say, what are our options, and really felt like God began to move us toward purchasing land in the community. And so we had a couple wins in the first half. One of those wins came 4 months ago when we actually closed on property about 300 yards up Olio Road. Many of you have driven by this. And so, again, if you're newer, it's right up the road at the corner of Olio Road and Silverstone Drive. We purchased 4.5 acres there, and it's in a high destination location. We actually have enough land that we can build a building with a footprint larger than we were going to be able to do in a warehouse space and accommodate the parking needs that we have. And we just really feel like God came through and provided this piece of property for us. Not for free, by the way. It had a pretty hefty price tag, but God worked and moved in order for us to identify this as our location. It was a really big win in the first half of the campaign. Another big win we had is we've been identifying new partnerships throughout the course of our last 18 months, meaning we said from the beginning, as we prepared to raise money to build this next home, this next launch pad for the Crosspoint community, we said, you know, we don't want to just be building something for ourselves. This isn't for us. We want to invest in things that are outside of ourselves, ministries, individuals who are doing things that they kind of are congruent with Crosspoint's heart. And so we've identified some new partnerships over the last months. We've gone international with these partnerships. We have a partnership with Journey Church in Australia, in which we're literally relaunching a church movement on the continent of Australia through Pastor David Revelle and Journey Church. We have a partnership with someone who used to be a part of this community, Angelo Brown, who's now in Hunan, China, and he's on the mission field there, and we're investing in the life change that he's creating through working with men who are kind of the throwaways of that society in China. And then I want to introduce a new partnership with you today, which I'm really, really excited about. And so help me welcome Mark and Angie Rumschick to the stage this morning. Let's welcome them. And Mark and Angie, they're going to tell you what they're doing here. Welcome, guys. It's great to have you here. You know, I have opportunities all the time. I get emails. I get requests from people to meet. They say, hey, I want to meet. I want to see if you'd be interested in coming alongside. And really what that means is we want to know if you'll give us some money. We want to know if you'll fund us and help us, you know, accomplish this thing. You know, let's be honest. I've been in those shoes. I mean, when we started Crosspoint, we were in the same boat. And so, you know, oftentimes when I have these conversations, I kind of go into them with a sense of like, oh, well, let's go see you know, what's going on here? Let's see if there's something we really would want to be a part of. And before I even met Mark and Angie, I came across their website and I saw this video of them. And as soon as I saw this, I thought, man, this is the kind of couple that I want to be connected to. We're going to show it to you in just a second. All right. When I saw the passion that came out in this thing, I thought, man, there's some way that we've got to partner with these guys. So take a look at one of the recent experiences from their life right here.
One more chance, Mark. This is it. It wasn't 16,790. It wasn't 17,960. Let's see if we can get it. Let's go in 17,000. He said he's feeling it. $17,690. Here we go. Last chance. You got it.
A winner I want to be next to, all right? So it's great to have you guys here today. And I know the burning question we all have is do you guys still have the car?
Yeah, yes, we do. And it's actually in the parking lot. So after this, I'm going to open the window and we'll all jump through it together.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. You know, I have never seen anyone done that. Has anyone ever done that in the history of The Price is Right?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it. It's very difficult. We tried to reenact it and I don't know how I made it through. So it is very difficult.
So Mark and Angie are new to this community. They're just starting a new ministry literally across the street from where our new facility is going to be. It's called Student Ventures. So tell us a little bit about what it's about and how you guys are beginning to get into this school.
Yeah, definitely. Angie and I, we both are on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ and their high school ministry called Student Venture. And our specific target is HSC High School. So our full-time job is to be where the students are at, loving on them. So when I saw, and when we talked about this before, just the building plans coming up and how you guys are going to be right across the street, I mean, we are just so excited for that. So when you guys have this building built in January and up, we're super pumped for it.
See, he's been talking to the load-in team this morning. He heard that they want this thing up now.
That would be great. But we just feel like God has just poured on us and filled on us this heart and passion to reach teenagers for Christ. And with HSC, as big as it is, 3,000 plus and growing, Angie and I cannot reach all those students ourselves. So what we do is we equip our students to be able to share their faith, to be able to share their testimonies, and just to show the love of Christ to all the students. And the goal of Student Venture is that every student at HSC has heard the gospel, has heard the message of Jesus, and has a chance to accept them into their life. And just recently, we started 2 months ago, to the day actually, and we're already seeing God move in a big way. And the moment we stepped foot onto that campus, we just knew that God had big plans and he's going to change the face of that school and what it looks like. So we've had students just running up to us, just sharing just how excited they are, what God's doing, stories of how they've shared their faith with a friend and what happened with that. And God is moving in a big way. And specifically, we had one of our girls, she came up to us and she was just like, I invited someone to Student Venture who I don't really know, just kind of know him on Facebook, and she invited him. Well, he ended up showing up to Student Venture all by himself, and we try to create this atmosphere of come as you are, we know everyone doesn't have it all together, and we're just going to live life together. So he shows up, and guys are just kind of hanging out with him, getting to know him some more, and he loved it. So he kept coming back week after week, and he ended up bringing his brother. And as we got to know him some more, I just said, hey, let's just grab some coffee after school. So we grabbed coffee after school and we started talking and figuring out his background. And he's never been to church before. And I found out that along with that, everything he knows about God has been self-taught. So we started talking some more and we started to get into the word and we went right through the gospel. And as we're talking, just how like we're talking right now, you could just see the excitement just build up in his eyes. And he started to get more and more, like, the emotion was rushing in. And it was so cool because that night, he got it. Like, his life changed drastically. He got that, you know, all his past, just the dirt in his life, the things he didn't want anyone to know, they're forgiven. And Jesus forgave him. And he was just so floored by that and so excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Can we celebrate that for a moment?
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
But I mean, like, that's what Student Venture is all about. Just reaching those students, peers, students reaching students, teachers reaching students, parents reaching students, and changing this generation, and specifically HSC High School and what that looks like. So we just want to fill you guys in with what God's doing at HSC. But also, we want to thank you, because when we met Kurt, it was at the right time that allowed us to launch when we did. And if that didn't happen, you know, that kid wouldn't be where he's at today. So we just want to thank all you guys just for your generosity and your hearts to just reach the world. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're, yeah, it's an exciting thing. Exciting. So, you know, as so we're financially funding, and as a part of the crazy campaign, as we give, I mean, a part of that is coming to you guys to fund them being here and them literally developing this ministry in the schools. How can we pray for you? I know you have a Tuesday morning prayer experience that happens when people are driving to work. I mean, can they pray for this group that's gathering?
Yeah, I mean, prayer anytime is huge. We meet on Tuesday night at 7:17 p.m., so, like, if 7 o'clock rolls around, just be praying for Student Venture. We're meeting at a student's house right now, but eventually we're going to get into the school. So we need teacher support. We need faculty support. So you could be praying for that, for the doors just to be blown open there, so we can get into the school. And that's really how it's going to start to grow and change lives the fastest. So that's the biggest way, and just that the gospel, the message of Jesus, just keeps getting preached out there, and that, specifically HSC, that's huge.
Awesome. So when I met with Mark and Angie for the first time and began to hear their hearts, and you heard some of his language, which is very congruent with Crosspoint, I mean, life together, don't have it all together. I mean, these are phrases we build into who we are. And I began to get this picture of 3,000 kids across the street and a facility that we have to be used as a tool to reach kids. It gives you goosebumps when you begin to realize what good God has in store. I want to pray for this couple, and so I'm going to ask you to join me in doing that. God, I'm praying for Mark and Angie right now, and just for the ministry you're already doing. I mean, they're 2 months into this deal. They're very much at the early startup phase, and yet, God, you don't wait to change lives. When somebody's ready, when somebody jumps up and says, hey, God, can you use me, you immediately go about the business that only you can do. And so we celebrate that today, God. We ask that you continue to just prepare a path before them, that you would give them favor with the school administrators, you give them favor with students, with teachers, with parents, and God, that you would just grow this ministry to training students to that when they come into an encounter with you and in a relationship with you, then they just turn that around and help others do the same. And what a great thing, God, and how we're just excited and get excited about the potential of how this can literally change the trajectory, not just of a student's life or a family's life, but literally, God, of this community. And so, God, we ask that you would just, your blessing would be on them. We thank you, God, that as we're preparing for this next step here at Crosspoint, this next launch pad, that, God, you're not waiting to change lives. You're already working through what people are investing here to bring about life change. And so, God, we're just in awe. We're thankful. We're humbled by what you're doing. We pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Amen.
Thanks,
awesome. Kurt. All right, thanks, guys. Let's hear it for Mark and Angie. They are going to be out at Connection Point after service today. You can stop by and see them if you'd like to talk to them, hear a little bit more about Student Venture or how you might be able to be a part of that. And so we're entering into the second half. You know, we're halftime, we're moving forward, and this is a really important time. You know, we've played a good game the first half. There's a couple key initiatives that we must connect in the second half to strategically help us accomplish the goal of what God desires to do in this community, not to put a building up, but to literally continue to change lives in the hearts of individuals around us. And so our strategic implementation team here at Crosspoint continues to serve as kind of the overseeing team of this project. Of their charge is to bring this crazy project to completion. And one of the exciting developments over the last month is we've identified a designer for our building. And so our staff team in the next month is going to be meeting and beginning to cast vision so we can conceptually begin to get on paper the vision for this facility. And then from there, we'll move to drawing in our team leaders and other leadership at Crosspoint to begin to identify the form and function and the flow of this facility. And then as that goes to architecture and then eventually to the construction phase, we'll continue to broaden teams and invite a broader investment here at Crosspoint. Broader involvement in that process. So it's a very exciting time for us here at Crosspoint. Now, the keys to the second half, there's two. And so we're already moving on the first one, and this is that it's going to be critically important for us to break ground in 2012. 2012 is a very big year for us, and And so we're on a very deliberate timeline in terms of when we need to break ground. Ideally, we're breaking ground mid-year this year. And so we've got things in motion where we're moving toward that right now. We're having conversations with lenders. We're having conversations with, obviously, with our designer now and exploring construction companies. We're doing all the things to begin to move toward a groundbreaking during 2012. And there's a tension in this that we have to manage, meaning this has been a great home for us here at the school. It's been a great home for us. And yet at the same time, our expenses here at this school continue to escalate. Every year our rent goes up 25%, and this is escalating quickly. And so we're quickly approaching this window, this optimal window for us to break ground so we can get into a building within the next 18 months, ideally before. So that we can get out of the high rent that we're paying here and into the permanent launch pad. Now there's gonna be some stretching in that. The cool part is there's a plan in place that allows us to do this. We can see 5 years from now that this is an accomplishable goal, that we can be in a building in a year and a half or less, that we can pay for it. And yet there's gonna be some tight times through. There's gonna be times where God must move in order for this to be accomplished. And so we're gonna ask you to continue to pray for this. You know, and this is one of those places where there's going to be a sense of urgency over the next year. You know, we're in year number two, and there's going to be an urgency. In fact, that's where this brings us back to the Christmas story. You know, last week we looked at the original Christmas story and the sense of urgency that came when the shepherds in the field experienced the angels. And, you know, some of us, if you weren't with us, you know, angels, we have this idea of like Gerber baby, you know, looking angels with a red wig on and, you know, toting harps and shooting, you know, Cupid style arrows and, you know, singing love songs in the clouds. These are not angels, all right? I mean, angels are warriors. I mean, angels, here's what happens. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that when an angel shows up, people have to go change their drawers? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, all of a sudden the angel's like, whoa, don't be freaked out. Don't be afraid. And it's just one angel showing up. One angel shows up and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't come to hammer you. You know why? Because angels are doing battle right now. Angels are warriors. And so the angels show up to the shepherds, and the shepherds immediately enter this season where they have this sense of urgency. We must go. We must go now. We must go now and visit this Christ child. There's immediately a sense of urgency, not the Christmas season urgency that you and I experience in the malls, an urgency with the, we got to go and get her done right now. And so this is what we see in the story. We also see in the Christmas story a sense of availability. This is what I want us to look at today. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, we see as we look back at this original story, this through line that again runs congruent with what we're talking about in terms of this greater dream that God has for the Cross Point community. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, at that time, a Roman emperor, Augustus, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. So how do you know how big your kingdom has got? You take a census. You call everybody back to their area of origin, and you count how many people your kingdom has grown to. This is what Caesar's doing right now. He's out conquering more and more territories. He says he's coming to bring peace and prosperity, and yet he's living by the sword. And so how do you find out how big you've gotten? You count your people. The story goes on. It says, and because Joseph was a descendant of David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who now was obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now again, as we've been looking at over the last few weeks, this is at one of those places again where sometimes we take artistic liberties and we make the Christmas story into way more than we think that it actually was. In fact, I went to one of my daughter's Christmas pageants this past week, went to one of their preschools, and my daughter was actually Mary. I don't know how they thought she should be Mary, but she was Mary. She was toting a little baby around, and she went up to the innkeeper and pulled open the curtains and said, "Hey, we need a room." And immediately the innkeeper shut them and said, "There's no room in here." And I was watching this, and it was interesting because as I was watching this, I thought, you know, did that really take place? And I went back and reread this story, and I began to see that, you know, it references that they found a place, they found lodging, but there's never a reference to the innkeeper in the scriptures. You see, this is something that we've kind of artistically built into the story because it makes a great little story, by the way, right? But it's not a part of the original biblical account. There are innkeepers, they're very prominent in a Christmas pageant, but not in the original account of the Christmas story. In fact, considering the fact that Mary and Joseph is actually traveling back to his ancestral home. I mean, this is the place where he grew up. This is his family of origins area. Most likely, they traveled back and stayed in the guest quarters of one of their relatives. All right, not some like behind in the back barn behind the Bible Times Hotel. All right, I mean, we've made this picture of this, right? I mean, the only thing we actually see, the thing the Bible does say, is that Jesus was born into this, a feeding trough, a manger, a cow's bowl. For whatever reason, there was no room and there were no beds available, so they gathered a place where cows would come up and drool and eat, and they made that into a bed. And so the Greek word that's actually used here in the scriptures, it's used there to refer to the place where they stayed, is the word kataluma. And it actually means guest chamber, it means lodging place, it means inn. But we never reference an innkeeper. And not that that's significant, but sometimes we have to get clear on what's going on right here. And so to our best archaeological research, you know, it would suggest that Jesus was probably born in the house of one of his relatives, but not in the main housing area, probably off in the guest area somewhere, or out of the main areas, outside of the main areas, could have even been out back or in a side room. But the point is, someone made room for Christ's arrival. That's the point of the story. The point, whether it was an innkeeper, whether it was a relative, whether it was a family member, whether it was an old childhood friend, we don't know. Someone made room for the arrival of Christ into the world. And friends, this is what we're talking about today. As I think about this crazy dream that God has for the Crosspoint community, as I think about this crazy dream that God has to continue to bring redemption to the world, you know, God's plans always line up congruently with the bigger thing that he's doing in the world. As we talk about this crazy dream God has to help this community get into a new location, a new launch pad, where we continue to broaden our impact and reach and connect with more people, it's mainly about changed lives. Right? It's not about some cush, you know, country club building. We can say, hey, this is our home. It's literally a place that can house our offices, we can have our services, and can be an impact in the community so people can come and allow Christ to be birthed into them. In fact, it's happening already. It's already happened. In fact, I got an email just about a week and a half ago. Really cool email, and I want to share it with you because this is what, you know, when I think about the crazy dream and when I think about what Christmas is about, this is what I think about. This gentleman wrote, he said, I've lived most of my adult life approaching my relationship with Christ as a one-sided relationship. Sure, I prayed, I tithed, I went to church, I raised my kids in the church, and I talked openly with people about Jesus, but it was driven by an insurance policy mentality, or as I've called it from time to time, the anti-whack approach. I think that's what some of us have here today, right? The anti-whack approach. He said, that's, you know, where you do enough to keep God from whacking you, and but you make sure he keeps allowing you to do the things that you want to do. He said it led to a form of godliness without much power. It also led to a very selfish approach to everything I did, although I did a masterful job of covering up my actions with an acceptable Christian veneer. I packaged myself up as the got it all together businessman, the family man, and I wasn't all that bad. Actually, I was a pretty decent guy, generous, compassionate, but Christ was a means to an end and a very selfishly motivated one. He said, I really didn't realize it because I surrounded myself with people that were approaching their relationship with Christ the same way. And we were all unknowingly reinforcing this in one another, getting this idea that, you know, we'll get the benefits of heaven while doing pretty much anything we want to do. It's a life driven by worldly accomplishment, worldly recognition, and living from one event to the next and consuming as much entertainment along the way. He said, let me just say, it's not a life that's very rewarding. So I'm not going to say I wasn't a Christian, but Jesus certainly wasn't Lord of my life. I was less of a follower and more of a fan. He says, the Lord's allowed me to live in what I would call a life that's not been that bad, but it ultimately led to divorce, it ultimately led to a lot of pain, it led to a broken relationships. It's ultimately a life without peace. He said, but fortunately, God never gave up on me. He said, this friend of mine used to call Jesus the hound of heaven. He said, I often thought that was kind of insulting, but now I get it. He said, God's relentless pursuit and endless love for all of us, it leaves me in awe. And now I can say I'm no longer a fan, but I'm a follower. And I thought, man, this is what the story of Christmas is about. It's about Christ being birthed, about taking us from wherever we are and renewing that and taking us to a whole new place. Friends, this is what the crazy dream is about. It's not about a building. It's about investing in something that's going to allow people in our community. It's going to allow us in these seats to continue to go to new places as Christ is rebirthed in us. And so we have two key initiatives that we must execute on in this second half. The first is it's critical that we break ground in 2012. The second is we must fulfill our commitments. We must fulfill our commitments, and we're in a very difficult portion of the campaign right now. We're in year number two. Year number two is the hard year. I mean, the first year we're excited. Man, we're at the front end. We're excited to make the commitments. We're excited to begin to invest in this thing. Year two comes, and we begin to feel the pain of living without some of the things that we've given up in order to turn some of our finances toward this crazy dream. I mean, we're sitting in our living room and we've been a year and a half now without cable television because we gave that up. We're like, oh, this is hard. I don't want to continue to do this. Or, you know, when you're driving that same car that you put off a purchase on because you said, hey, I want to invest in this crazy dream that God has for me. And so we're in the hard season right now. In fact, I want to give you a couple statistics. Here's where we are to date. I showed you what our original goal was. Our current pledge is $661,000 and some change. Our current received to date is $233,000, which is 35% complete, which means we're at the halfway point and we're 35% complete. Now, one of the things we know is that we've got some commitments that are going to be coming in later in the game. We've got some commitments that usually come at year end. So we will see that continue to climb, but we're off pace a bit. And yet in the difficult economic climate that we're in, I just want to say, way to go, CrossPoint, for continuing to nail it on this. And I've had conversations with some of you. I've heard of the sacrifice. One of the things that I want to do as we kind of wrap this up this morning is, you know, as in any game, there comes a point where you have to do an evaluation. You have to say, okay, how are we playing? How are we doing? Where am I at? What can I do? How is my investment going? And so as we wrap this up this morning, I want you to take out two cards out of your weekly this morning. First, I want you to take out this crazy commitment card that looks like this. And then I also want you to take out your connection card. And if you're somebody who calls this place home, if you're somebody who you know has been around this place, regular attender, somebody who's made a crazy commitment, I want you to hold the commitment card in your hands. And there's a couple things I want to walk us through this morning as we kind of do some evaluation. And this is very important because it's very important for our strategic team and leadership to have as accurate of data as possible as we go through these next 18 months. And so on the back of this, on the front of this card, you can fill it out with your name and your information. And on the back, what I want to basically ask is, this is a recommitment or an adjusting of commitment moment. This is one of those moments where, you know, if you're somebody who's on pace with your commitment, if you've been privileged enough for God to continue to be providing, and you said, man, I've been able to stay on pace with the giving that I anticipated when I made my commitment. Let me just first say thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for trusting, and thank you for giving. And if that's where you are and you say, you know, I'm still on track to fulfill the commitment that I made, then I want you to mark that box. I reaffirm my current crazy campaign commitment. It's just important for us to know that you're on track for that. Maybe you're lagging slightly behind. Maybe you're behind some, but you're still saying, man, I'm still planning to fulfill my commitment. Or maybe you're going to be backloading much of your investment. Maybe you've been getting some of your finances in order so that you can contribute more, and your initial commitment is still on tap for what you're going after. If that's where you are, again, mark that first box. I know there are some of us here this morning. I've had conversations with people who said, Kurt, man, this has been hard, and I lost a job, and I was very ambitious in my commitment. I really, you know, made a commitment based on what I thought God was calling me to do, but life has changed. You know what? Life changes. Life changes. And so what I want to say to you is, it's okay. And so here's your opportunity today to say, okay, from this day forward, what kind of investment might God be calling me to make in this commitment? Maybe I need to adjust my investment. Maybe what I initially thought I could do, there's no way. Maybe I look back and say, there's no way I can catch up. And maybe I can't even per month give what I thought I was going to be able to. Our goal through this whole thing was for every single person to be a part of this deal. To be able to step back at the end of the day and say, man, I was on the ground floor of creating this opportunity for life change in our community. And we want you on the team. We don't want you to be dwelling in what you can't do. We want you to be dwelling on what you can do. And so this is your opportunity to say, hey, I need to adjust my commitment. And so there's a box that you can mark and say, I'm gonna adjust, and here's my new commitment from this day forward. It might be a fraction of what you initially committed. It might be most of what you initially. That's between you and God. But we want to give you the opportunity. This is not a legal binding commitment. This is the best intentions of your heart. There may be others of us who have completed our commitments, who have fulfilled those, and you're just sitting there, and maybe you can do more. Maybe God continues to bring blessings your way, and you can say, you know, there's something else I can do. If that's the case, then I'd ask you to increase it. And then I know there are some of us here this morning who have not had the opportunity to become a part of this crazy dream yet. And if that's where you sit this morning, then I would ask you to consider making an 18-month commitment over the next 18 months. In some way, can you say, I'm going to give above and beyond my tithe or my normal giving to invest in this crazy dream that Crosspoint has, that God has for Crosspoint? And if so, you can make that commitment on this card. And then when you complete that, you can tear this off. And you can keep the top for your records. You can drop the bottom in the box in the back. Or for some of us, we may not be able to make that commitment today. We may need to take this home. We may need to talk to our spouse. We may need to spend some time praying over it. Take this self-addressed and paid postage envelope. You can drop it in later in the week, and you can drop it in the mail to us. And so this is an evaluation point. It's a critical evaluation point because it's important for us to have accurate data. But more importantly, it's the opportunity for everyone to say, how is God inviting me into the story to be a part of bringing about the birth of Christ in the lives of my family and friends? And so as we sing, I'm going to ask you to mark those cards. I'm also going to ask you on your connection card on the back to identify a next step. Your next steps might be on that card. If you're a guest today, I'd invite you to look at this card and just say, you know, is there a step I can take? Maybe I'm definitely not at the point of being ready to make any kind of commitment, but I can do something. I can take some step. Maybe I want to take an ornament off the giving tree and be a blessing to someone. Maybe I want to take a food box home and fill it and bring it back and be a blessing this Christmas. Maybe I want to invite somebody to Crosspoint. What's your next step? We're very intentional in saying, how are we taking a next step in our faith? And so as the band sings and as we sing this song about Christ coming, this anticipatory sense of Christ coming and emerging and being birthed in us, birthed in our community, I invite you to respond. Let's sing.